O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
The first reading for Maundy Thursday is from the 12th chapter of Exodus. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it, according to the number of persons, each according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire. With unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire. Its head with its legs and its entrails, you shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Here ends the reading. The second reading is from the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Here ends the reading. And the final reading is from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well,' for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Here ends the reading.
Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Hymn 100.
On my heart imprint your image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures never may your work erase. Let the clear inscription be, Jesus crucified for me. In my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation.
The sermon text is from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Here ends the reading. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On that Maundy Thursday, Jesus celebrated the Jewish Passover, which was the inauguration of the Old Covenant. God's people were in slavery in Egypt, and God sent Moses to bring the Israelite nation out. As today's reading from Exodus 12 states, the Passover lamb was killed, the blood was smeared on the doorpost and lintel, and the next morning the people were released. The Lord took them to Mount Sinai in order that they might meet with God. With the Old Covenant, God saved them and bestowed His favor upon them. The obligations of the Old Covenant were delivered by Moses when he brought down the Ten Commandments and the Book of the Law. Now, with such a good beginning, we might expect great things to come. Nevertheless, the people did not follow their part of the covenant. They grumbled and complained. They doubted God's help and refused to enter into the promised land. They were sentenced to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. The scripture says that God was not pleased with them. Well, years later, when the people are going into Babylonian exile because of their idolatry, Jeremiah the prophet remarks about the inadequacy of the old covenant and the need for a new covenant. He says in Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 32, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord." Now, as far as God's side of the covenant, God was faithful, but the people were not. Once again, God is going to need to bridge the gap and do something. Just as the first covenant of redemption from Israel, from Egypt, was initiated by God, so once again, God is going to make a new covenant with His people. This covenant is called a new covenant because of a striking difference as compared with the old covenant. Jeremiah says that the new covenant will not be like the old. Let me continue to read Jeremiah, the verses 33 and 34. "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more." God's people need to look forward to that new covenant. This new covenant would be based upon the forgiveness of sins. The old covenant included an external writing on the law of tablets of stone telling the people what to do. The defect with the old covenant was that it was broken by the people. They couldn't keep the law any more than you or I can keep the law. Now, God's law is not only concerned with external actions, but it also requires that we fear and love God. So that it was impossible to keep. The law only shows us our sins and humbles us. Those who attempt to earn God's favor by keeping the law will be humbled by it. They will fall in despair at their failure. Well, Jeremiah assures the people that God will restore His relationship with them. He will be their God and they shall be His people. But with the new covenant, the defect will be fixed by placing the law in their minds and writing it on their hearts. With this new covenant, the people's response to the new covenant will not be forced by outward rules. God will place inside them new desires to fear and to love him. What the Ten Commandments could not do, God will accomplish by his writing upon their fleshy hearts. He forgives them and gives them a new birth. And it is with that promise from Jeremiah that the people should have been ready for Maundy Thursday. John 13 begins by expressing the great love of Jesus. Jesus loved them in coming to take on human flesh. He loved them in his baptism to take upon himself their sins. He loved them in his teaching and in his healing and his miracles. But now, here, at the end of his life, Jesus truly loved them to the end. Having completed the old covenant meal, Jesus washed their feet. Now, this was not for hygienic or ceremonial purposes, or it would have been done before the meal. The washing is teaching them that the first covenant wasn't enough. It is about forgiveness of sins, this washing of feet. Even after celebrating the Passover, they still needed a washing. Thus we see in 1 Corinthians 11 that Jesus celebrated the new meal, which we call the Lord's Supper. Everything about the words of institution should make us sit up and take notice. Jesus says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Our response ought to be, "Yes, the new covenant is here." This is the new covenant for which the faithful had been waiting. Jeremiah said it would involve forgiveness and a regenerated heart, and it does. The old covenant was able to be broken, but the new covenant is actually a last will and testament. Through the death of Jesus, it goes into effect. And through the will of Jesus, expressed through the words of institution, we receive all of the inheritance. The old covenant had a slain Passover lamb, but the new covenant begins with the sacrifice of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The old covenant had a release from slavery in Egypt. With the new covenant, Jesus rises from the dead on the third day to live forever. The Passover meal is replaced with the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Jesus and for the forgiveness of sins. The born-again people of God don't grumble and complain that they are Christians. No, they rejoice in their new life and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The obligations of the new covenant. Now, they are not reluctantly imposed by Moses. They are graciously placed in us by the one who has washed away our sins. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also have love for one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And so love is the mark by which believers in Jesus are known. In the post-communion prayer, the church understands that the new covenant definitely includes faith in God's promise, but she also speaks about love for one another. Let me remind you. It says this, "We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ." Now I know that many of us, are not able to gather and to celebrate Lord's Supper as we are accustomed to doing every Lord's Day and on festival days. Now I'm not trying to taunt you by speaking about, the new covenant, the Lord's Supper, something which you can't presently have. Like Jeremiah, though, exhorting the believers of his day, we can look forward to that day in which we can receive the new covenant in Jesus' blood and the new testament of Christ according to his will. Unlike the old covenant, which required the Passover lamb be celebrated annually and on a specific day of the year, Nisan 14, there is no law concerning the time to receive our Lord's Supper. It is not bound. The words, as often as you do it, compel no one to receive on a specific or certain days. So know that you have not sinned by the restrictions that have been placed because of the present quarantine. Nevertheless, according to our opportunity, we partake frequently. It is not a burden or a law that compels us. We are already Christians. We have received the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't need Moses forcing us to go. We belong to the time of the new covenant. Jeremiah says, 31, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." In his final parting words, Jesus tells us that by his sacrificial death, he is atoning for the sins of the world. Through his cup of the New Testament in his blood, Jesus is giving out his forgiveness and new desires. And finally, he tells us, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Our God creates in us a new heart and renews in us a steadfast spirit. Through his new covenant, he restores to you the joy of your salvation. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The Magnificat.
Let my prayers rise before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him throughout all generations. He has shown the strength of his arm and scattered the proud in their own conceit. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted the humble and meek. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has remembered his mercy and sustained his servant Israel, as he promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come to you. Let us pray. O Lord, who has left to us in a wonderful sacrament, a memorial of your passion, grant, we implore you, that we may so use this sacrament of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption continually may be manifest in us, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, who has willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, that you might remove from us the power of the adversary, help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may obtain remission of sins and redemption from everlasting death. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Holy and mighty Lord, who has promised there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwellings, we beseech thee to hear our cry for those who are suffering and dying under the visitation of the coronavirus. Mercifully bless the means which are used to stay the spread of sickness. Strengthen those who labor to heal and comfort the afflicted. Support those who are in pain and distress. Speedily restore those who have been brought low. And unto all who are beyond healing, grant thy heavenly consolation and thy saving grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, who has been the help and stay of thy people in days past, turn not from them in the day of trouble and distress. Behold, many are now discouraged and disheartened because of a lack of employment. We beseech thee, leave not thyself without witness, that thou art their Father, who doth not forget nor forsake them. Grant them faith to cast their care upon thee who carest for them. Preserve them from all resentment and bitterness of heart, and make them hopeful, cheerful, and courageous. Teach them to trust in thee and to wait patiently for thee. In thy mercy, raise up opportunity for their employment, that in peace and thankfulness they may earn and eat the bread of contentment. Grant unto us the spirit of brotherly love and charity, and make thy people everywhere willing to bear the burden of their brethren who are in need. Make us mindful of thy word, deal thy bread to the hungry. Help us as we therefore have opportunity to do good unto all men, and especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Make us merciful even as thou, our Father, art merciful for Jesus' sake. Amen. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally by your mercy obtain eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord God, the life of all the living, the light of the faithful, the strength of those who labor, the repose of the blessed dead, grant us a peaceful night free from all disturbance, that after a time of quiet slumber, we may by your goodness be endued in the new day with the guidance of your Holy Spirit and enabled in peace to render thanks to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels and all just works, Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.